Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you back here in beautiful Canada. I always would like to suggest that there is always a danger when I personally sit in the back. I see what goes on. And I saw a few things that I would like to encourage ourselves to stop and to listen, because after all, we are talking about the Lord Jesus. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about things that would waste our time. We're talking about, if we claim that we know Christ as our Savior, we're talking about our blessed Savior, the one who is competent in himself to save. So my observation over the last few years, unfortunately, is that we benefited greatly from technology, but we also taught us how to be disrespectful in the presence of the Lord. So if you have a phone on you and you are not on call, I'm going to ask you to turn it off. And if you are on call, because we understand we all have still to work in this scene, waiting for heaven, where we shall enter into the rest of God. But if you don't have to work and you're not on call, I expect that phone to be off. Because if it rang by mistake, or if I saw some young people playing games, I'm going to take that phone and make some money out of it. I would like to continue on the exercise of our brother Mark, and my intention is really to present the Lord Jesus as the shepherd, but I want to bring it in a sense, in a way, that will impress our hearts with the greatness of this shepherd that we have, with the person of the Lord Jesus, but I certainly believe I want to bring this wonderful office or work of Christ. What does it mean to me in 2016? What does it mean that Christ is a shepherd? What does it mean for me to say, if I can be like the psalmist of Psalm 23, that the Lord is what? Is my shepherd. It is easy amongst Christians to be able to address the Lord Jesus in a collective aspect, because you hide yourself under the umbrella of the saints of God. We can all say our Lord. We can always say Lord Jesus is our shepherd. We can always say that the Lord Jesus is our teacher, but it is a greater challenge for the individual to be able to address the Lord Jesus and say that he is my shepherd, because they know what they are talking about. This is why in the scripture, for example, there are so many occasions that we address the Lord Jesus as our Lord, but there are only 5 individuals that have addressed the Lord Jesus as what? As my Lord. 4 in the New Testament, and 1 is a prophecy from Psalm 110 that David has spoken about, and he said that the Lord said unto who? Unto my Lord. So I want to leave this afternoon, or we can leave this conference, not only thinking of the exercise that has been presented for us, that the Lord is the Savior, or the Lord is a shepherd, or the Lord is a teacher, head, and he is the son over his house, and so forth and so on. But I would like you that when you leave this conference, to be able to come into the good of that Christ is my shepherd. Christ is my Savior. Christ is my teacher. We want to make it a very personal relationship that you would have with this great person. So I want to read these scriptures quickly, and I want to close, and I want all the young people, I trust that they have some pens and some pages to take some notes, and not because what we're saying is added to the scripture, God forbid. But I certainly believe in a principle that I still apply it in my own days, that we need to see, to search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. So you know what? You have to check on Brother Mark. Although I have to tell you that he, in my own judgment, he didn't say anything wrong. It was all scriptural. But you have to find it for yourself. And I just want to tell you from now, don't ask me where is the verse. I'm not going to give you verses. I'm going to quote verses, but I'm not going to give you a reference of a verse. I might give you a chapter just to keep it close for you, But I'm not going to give you the verse because you know what I expect? I expect individuals that are sincere before the Lord, that if they heard something that might raise their interest, for them to go and seek it and search it like they did with the Apostle Paul. So in the original language, there was no verses. So don't come to me and say, Brother John, what verse was that? I'm not going to tell you. John chapter 10. I want to read two verses. John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You turn the page, or at least in my Bible, I apologize. And verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of them. The other known verse is in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And I trust that we're all also familiar with that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The theme of the shepherd is not a New Testament theme. The theme of salvation is not a New Testament theme. The people of God in the Old Testament, they were acquainted with the thought of salvation, but it wasn't through the person of the Lord Jesus. But the thought of, they could sing and rejoice in God, my salvation. In fact, the psalmist could say that Jehovah is the rock of my salvation. So the thought of deliverance, now the thought of deliverance, they weren't acquainted with the Lord Jesus, although through, except through the word of prophecy, but the word of being delivered from something was something that was familiar in light of the Old Testament. The same thing as far as the shepherd is concerned, it is something in reality that every time God wanted to raise a leader amongst the people of God, somebody of vigor, somebody with moral weight, somebody that Christ will put him as an example for the New Testament and the Old Testament saints, I have to tell you that so many times they were shepherds. They were shepherds. For example, if I told you Abraham was a shepherd, Abraham was a shepherd. He was indeed great, rich individual with herd and riches that came to a point that his shepherds and Lot's shepherds, there was some kind of disagreement that they had to go separate ways, right? Jacob was a shepherd. You might not read it as far as being David as a shepherd, but he was a person also that took care of the flock. Joseph was a shepherd. It was somebody who took care of the flock. Moses was a shepherd. He took care of the flock. David was a shepherd. He took care of the flock. And their greatest example for every individual is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to discuss four titles of the Lord being a shepherd so that we acquaint ourselves with the teaching a little bit of why these four different names are being given to the Christ. And then I want to come to the practical aspect of it, of what does it mean for me to be a sheep that belongs to Christ Jesus. So that's how we're going to handle it. And I want to try by the grace of God, it's only by the grace, so you better pray harder, to really cut my time so that we can catch up with things. The problem is time. Time is never on our side. And if we don't start on time, it's very hard to stop the domino effect of it. There is a domino effect of it. Because now we have to start later and so forth and so on. So may the Lord exercise us to respect the time, because when the time was come, he sat down. he sat down. There are four titles that, as far as shepherd is concerned, is connected to the Lord Jesus. We read about three, but he is really also just called the shepherd. Just the shepherd. So the Lord Jesus was called the shepherd. You see it in John chapter 10 as well. The Lord Jesus was called the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus was called the great shepherd. And the Lord Jesus was called the chief shepherd. So I just want to touch briefly on all these four different titles in relationship to his work as a shepherd. And then I want to bring it home in relationship to us. What does it mean to be a shepherd? I want you to take note of a verse that is from the Old Testament that will give me the understanding and the greater appreciation that Christ Jesus came as a shepherd. And that verse is in Genesis chapter 46 and the last... Chapter 46. There's a chapter 46 that gives us a little idea what Christ was planning to endure when he came into this world, not only as a savior, but also to take upon himself to be a shepherd. That verse in chapter 46, without quoting the number of the verse, I would say the last verse of the chapter. How is that? That's a good one, right? The last verse of the chapter 46, he says, the thought of shepherding was an abomination to the Egyptians. It was something that was despised. I'm not talking about our dear brethren from Egypt. I'm talking about to bring the application of what Egypt speaks about, that this Egypt, as far as scripture is concerned, represented the aspect of the world we are living in, the world that is under the system of the prince of this world, who is Satan. So there was something that gave me a hint, at least to me, that this work of shepherding was something that was despised, was something that was rejected, was something that looked down upon from the aspect of the world is concerned. Why? Because the prince of this world will hate a person that will care for his soul. He will hate an individual that is willing to lay down their life for the sake of the sheep. Satan will hate this mentality. So from the beginning of the book of Genesis, Satan despised such an office for a person to be a shepherd. And the Lord Jesus became a shepherd. Because the Lord Jesus counted the cost. Because he understood that coming into this world, not only to save, as we have heard, but also came into this world to care for souls. It reminds me, although the word shepherd is not there, but it reminds me about the good Samaritan that was willing to care for that soul who was half dead and bring him into an inn where he is sustained and cared for. But the Lord Jesus, being a shepherd, tells me, first of all, that he not only cared for souls, not only he was willing to lay down his life, but he was willing to take upon himself all the rejection, all the despising, all the things that comes with that office. And that's why when we read about the suffering love of the Lord Jesus, we see him that he was being despised by men. We read how they mocked his rightful claims. They mocked him. You know why? Because the Egyptians from the older days, they had no regard for a person that have a heart of a shepherd. The Lord Jesus was a shepherd. He wasn't any shepherd, you know. I have quoted a lot of individuals that were called shepherds, right? But the scripture says in Zechariah chapter 13, awake, O sword, who's talking? The blessed God. Awake, O sword, on my shepherd. The Lord Jesus is so unique in his person that God took notice of him as him being my shepherd. He is mine. He is my shepherd. He is the shepherd after my own heart. He is the shepherd after my own affections. And not only that, awake, O sword, on my shepherd, but on my fellow man. Means fellow, my equal. The Lord Jesus is none other but the blessed God over all. That's what makes the grace of God so wonderful. That's why I understand Ephesians chapter 1, that it's going to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Why is it grace? The eternal God, the blessed one who is over all, have taken upon Himself to come and to be a shepherd, to maintain, to sustain, and to care for you. But He is the good shepherd. There are two things that I want you to understand about that office of the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life, or giveth his life for the sheep. That's why it is Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is really the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd that laid down his life. And the first thing that I want you to take hold, my dear young brother, young sister, I know you stayed late last night. Some of you probably went to bed at 3 a.m., but I'm going to tell you, that's going to be your problem. I need you to stay awake. And when this time is over, go drink some caffeine if you are at age. Coffee. But when I think of the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd, I think of love. That He was willing to lay down His life. You know who will speak of that? David. David was a feature of the Lord Jesus, a type of the Lord Jesus, that He was willing to fight the lion. He was willing to fight the bear for who? For one lamb. He was willing to lay down His life for His flock, for His sheep. And the first thing that I want you to acquaint yourself when you read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus was the good shepherd, that He loved me. And the measure of His love, He laid down His life. This is love. This is love. You know what? When the Apostle Paul encourages us to be shepherds and to be fathers and to have these wonderful exhortations, a lot of our time right now in 2016, we speak well, we talk well. I love you, brother. I'm going to be praying. One day I'm going to come and see you. And this soul like is going through deep waters. But one day I'm going to come and see you. The Lord Jesus was not only a talk. He did not only speak about things. He just did them. He laid down His life. So the good shepherd, when you read that title, I want you to think that the good shepherd layeth down His life. And Christ loved each one of us. And the measure of His love, being the good shepherd, is that He died for me. That's the kind of good shepherd we have. Let's move on quickly. Please take notes and check what's being said. The second thing, when you read this title of good shepherd, I want you to understand this aspect. It is called relationship. You know, David, probably he just delivered the lamb. He was willing to fight the lion just to deliver. But David was not able to have a relationship with sheep, right? That's not. But in a spiritual way, Christ Jesus, when you read verse 14, that the intention of Him being a good shepherd that laid down His life, that He desires to have a relationship. I am the good shepherd, He says in verse 14, and know my sheep, and my sheep what? Know me. That after He laid down His life, is not only to deliver you, it is not only to save you. We have heard about salvation. We thank God for it. But that's only the mean to establish a relationship that is greater than only delivering you. Sometimes we take salvation and we run with it for eternity. Well, salvation was only the mean, my dear brother, my dear sister. When He died for me as my Lord and Savior, He wanted to deliver me from eternal punishment. But He desires things that are greater than salvation. He desires to have intimate relationship with you and with me. And when you think of the title Good Shepherd, I want you to think of death. I want you to think of love. Because the measure of His love to me led Him to die for me as a shepherd. But when you think also of Good Shepherd, I want you to think of relationship. That the Lord Jesus have desire and every intention, as He has delivered you, as He has made you His own sheep, to build a relationship. And that's why it's very important to read the scriptures. I find it very hard. Listen, when it comes to food, I think many brethren know here, don't mess with my food. I love food. I love to eat, but the Lord told me, no, you cannot do that. He gave me diabetes. So now I have to watch. And I don't only have one nurse. I found out like I have now 5 nurses. Every time I try to eat, my daughter snatches this away from me. My son keeps this away from me. It's tough. I'm telling you, it's tough. But I find it very hard that somebody cannot eat is going to live, is going to enjoy life. If I stay home and not eat and just, you know what, I'm going to fast. There's, you know what, it's very hard to survive, right? But when Christ as a good shepherd desires to build a relationship, to have a relationship with one another, you cannot not eat. You cannot not have the scripture before you. You cannot not be on your knees talking and building on that relationship. You cannot say, well, you know what? The meetings are so boring for me. I'm going to stay home. These things are not for the believer. Because the good shepherd is not only the one that died for me, that loved me, but the desire of the good shepherd is what? To have a relationship. Let's build on that. Let's have a relationship with the one that 1 Peter chapter 2 says, I'm not going to give you the verse, although it is written there, that he is the shepherd and bishop of our own souls. And if he is the shepherd, let's build on that relationship. The third one is the great shepherd. We're going through them quickly. I certainly believe one aspect of this shepherd work of Christ can take us the whole conference. So that's why I say go and search the scriptures daily. To see if these things are so. Not only to check if we said things that are scriptural, but also for you to enter into the enjoyment of this wonderful relationship with Christ Jesus. The great shepherd. Greatness of Christ. It is the only one who has been called the great shepherd. It's unique in the book of Hebrews. You know why the book of Hebrews, right? Do you know that every office and every work that Christ has taken upon himself, it has the word great in front of it because of the greatness of his person, right? Because of the greatness of his person, because of who he is, everything he does is great. You know, because of what we are, it doesn't mean like when I go to work, oh, what a great individual, what we're supposed to work. We cannot get these labels and these titles because we're doing things that were expected from us to do. But remember that he is God over all, and because of the greatness of his person of whom he is, listen, thou shalt call his name Jesus, we have heard in Matthew, right? For what? What's the reason? For he shall, but how about in Luke? Why should she call him Jesus? For he shall be great. You see, there is nothing about Christ that you're not going to find the word great somehow in the scripture before it or after it. It's not. You're not going to find it. How about salvation? We have heard from the brother salvation, by the way, when Simeon held the Lord Jesus, you know what he said about all salvation? It was personified in the person of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't only a mean of deliverance, but it was a person. This is why Simeon says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. When Simeon held the Lord Jesus in his hands and he can look at this blessed baby, blessed child, he said, my eyes have seen thy salvation, because salvation is a person. But when you think about the Lord Jesus, the greatness of it, even when it came to salvation, Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect, what is it called? So great salvation. It has to be great. You know why? Because it belongs to Christ. You know what Aaron was called? He was called the high priest. Never there was a priest in the Old Testament that was called with this title, the great high priest. Priest, but where did it come? In the book of Hebrews. Why? Because it belongs to Christ. How about mysteries in the Bible? We have many mysteries, right? When the Lord Jesus was expounding on the kingdom of heaven, he says, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And there was mystery of the Christ and the assembly and all these wonderful mysteries, which is a wonderful study for you to go into it. Man, I have to say my eyes are okay. So when it came to the mystery of the Lord Jesus in his unique way, you know what the Bible said? Where is it found? You know what? I'm going to give you a book. You go find it. Timothy. Great. Why? Listen, there were many mysteries. But this mystery, only this mystery, has that title of being great. Great is the mystery of godliness. Why is it great? God manifested in flesh. You see? You know why? Belongs to Christ. Belongs to Christ. And because it belongs to Christ, it is of necessity to be great. And the same thing with the shepherd. There were many shepherds in the scripture, but there was only one that is the great shepherd. You know why? Because it belongs to Christ. But the great shepherd now is a little different than the thought of the one who gave his life and the one who loved me. And the one who desired to establish a relationship, the great shepherd is in relationship of the one who is able to supply, to maintain, to sustain, to take care of me. Because the shepherd is not one who is willing to give his life for the sheep, but also the shepherd is the one who will provide food, sustenance, care. Young brother, young sister, there is no one like Christ who's going to be able to sustain you in this scene. No one is going to give you food in season like Christ would do it. Nobody's going to bring you before these green pastures like the Lord Jesus would do it. You know why? Because he is the great shepherd. The chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm sorry, but we have to cruise. The chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, it has to be that word chief was the only time recorded in the scripture. That word. Of course, it speaks about the preeminence. He's the greatest one. Sometimes in our languages, there is no words to express the original words that the scripture will use. That's why, for example, sometimes those scholars in translating Bible and even the Spirit of God would leave them alone, will give ability to translate, right? But there are certain words that I certainly believe, and I'm at peace with it, that the Spirit of God has given, stopped these translators to keep it the way it is. For example, there was no translation for the word, the depth of the intimacy, the depth of the intimacy that is in the word Abba, Father. Well, say people say, well, Abba means means dad. That's true, but that's not the whole concept. That's not the whole thought behind it. And that's why the scripture would say, keep it as Abba. Doesn't translate it father. He doesn't translate it dad in the Bible. He keeps it what? As Abba. Leave it as Abba. Because you know why? Because not only we cry it, but because Christ say it. In Mark chapter 14, before we cry Abba Father, it was the Lord Jesus who said it. He didn't cry it, you know. Just let's be careful with scripture. You and I will cry Abba Father. Because we are brought into the adoption into things. But the Lord Jesus will never cry Abba. Never cry it. You know what the Bible says? He says it. He just say it. Because of who he is, the relationship, the greatness of his person, he just says the word Abba. We cry it. But when it comes to that word chief, it is a unique one-word word that he is the preeminent, something that you cannot describe in its own fullness, but it has to do with the rewards. Now think of that. A shepherd, he was willing to come and take all the mocking and the despising. The good shepherd was willing to die for me because he loved me, but also has a desire to establish and build a relationship with every single sheep of his. The great shepherd was the aspect that, listen, I'm in need. I need someone to feed me. I need someone to refresh me. I need someone to sustain me. And that's why he is the great shepherd. But dear saints of God, don't give up on Christianity and don't give up on serving the Lord. I know he was talking to elders, but you know what? I always came to the conclusion, and I'm a firm believer, that every single one of them, every single one of us, has someone that is younger than they. Younger than you. How old are you? 18? There's someone that is 10 looking up to you. How old are you? 30? There's people that are 20 looking up to you. Whatever the age is, there's always someone that is younger than you. Don't give up on serving the Lord. That's why the Apostle Paul says, for your labor, what? He's encouraging the saints, keep shepherding, keep serving. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do it. Just do it. For your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Just keep doing it. I told the young people, you go look at one. This Nike thing, Nike, just do it. It's not their own invention. It's not their own invention. I'm going to tell you, most of these thinkers, you know, they pay them so much money to come with something like to drive the merchandise. And Nike came with just do it, right? It's from the scripture. Look for it. Just do it. You would read it in the Bible. It was an exhortation given to somebody to just do it. So after all, it wasn't Nike that came up with this. But don't give up on serving the Lord. Don't just stay home. Well, I cannot do. Well, we're going to come to the body. I don't want to jump into it. What can I do? And I'm not capable. Well, who said we are capable? Who said that we are sufficient? Who said that you are wonderful, that you can serve the Lord? Nobody said it. And that's why we have the indwelling of the Spirit, so that we can serve, we can shepherd, we can care for one another. Why? Because there is a chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you know what? I agree with Brother Mark. There is a coming a day when he shall appear in this world. And whatever reward he will give you in private will be a declaration in the public world. It will be a day of display. But the chief shepherd has to do with what? With the reward. Don't give up, young man. Don't give up, young sister. Whatever measure of service to help along a soul, to help along someone, there is a chief shepherd. There is a chief shepherd. There is one that is supreme. There's one that is great. There's one that is unique. And he will reward. When the Apostle Paul spoke about his reward, he says, there's a crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness. I'm not giving up. I'm going to love his appearing, and I'm going to do that which is right. I'm not giving it up, because there's a crown of righteousness. From who I'm going to receive it? I'm going to receive it from a righteous judge. A righteous judge. And you and I'm going to encourage you, young brother, young sister, don't give up serving the Lord, because we have a chief shepherd that is taking notice of everything you do for him, and the day is coming when he would reward you. And with that reward, you and I can throw it at his feet and be able to tell him, thou art worthy. You know what the saints were doing? They're taking these rewards and these crowns, and they are throwing it at his feet. And they are saying, thou art worthy. What they were saying, really, he is worthy, and we are not. Don't give up serving the Lord. So I'm going to close with this for 2 minutes. And I cut my tongue 10 minutes, so be thankful. Go to Psalm 23. I'm not going to expound on it, trust me, but I'm going to share with you something that I enjoyed from this psalm. And I trust you can take it with you. Write it down on a paper. Check it out and see if it makes sense for you. If I want to tell you what I spoke about as being shepherd, good shepherd, great shepherd, and chief shepherd, I'm going to tell you I see it all in Psalm 23. So let's cruise with it. In 2 minutes, I'm going to give you what they call in this world highlights of it. That's it, highlights. But these highlights meant the world to me personally. And I hope they will mean the world to you as well. Ready? Okay, let's cruise through it quickly. The Lord is my shepherd relationship. If you want to have a relationship, the Lord is my shepherd. I trust that every individual that is present with us today heard the gospel last night, heard of the love of Christ and salvation even earlier, heard about the Lord is my shepherd. Listen, you can hear about salvation. Young man, you can be born in a Christian household. It's not going to save your soul. I always say that because I like it. Because I have it. You know what I'm saying? Having an athlete's foot doesn't make me athletic. Look at me. Look at me. But in reality, we're familiar with this, right? There are millions of people that have athlete's foot, but they're not athletic. And there are billions of people, if they are born in Christian household, doesn't make them Christian. And you can be sitting with us and hearing about shepherds, but it means nothing to you until you come to the conclusion, I need to have a relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want supply and sufficiency. Supply and sufficiency. Next. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Rest. Rest. The Lord Jesus provides rest. Not only rest for the soul eternally. Not only rest for the conscience, but even in the relationship where He is, where He's sustaining me, I will find rest for my own soul. Let's cruise. Because I said I'm going to finish 10 minutes earlier. He leadeth me beside still waters. Refreshment. Relationships. Supply and sufficiency. We said He maketh me like rest. Now look at this, what the measure of what this shepherd provides. Refreshment. This water that refreshes us. Let's go. He restoreth my soul. Restoration. When you are going in a different way, when you are backsliding, He will go after you and He brings restoration. What's the reason? Because you are too wonderful, right? No. No. Because it says here, He leadeth me. He gives guidance. Young brother, young sister, you need to be guided into matters of life. That's the great shepherd. That's Psalm 23. He gives guidance. He leadeth me. He takes me by the hand and He leadeth me. When He raised this young lady from the dead, it says, and He took her by the hand. He starts leading. When He gives life, He takes, He loves, He enjoys, start taking you by the hand. He gives guidance. For His name's sake. That's the purpose behind it. He brings restoration. He guides you because the purpose is His name's sake. It is not because you deserve it. Because the purpose is so that His name might be magnified. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, testings. We all can witness that God will bring us through different testings in this world. Because we're living in the valley of the shadow of death. Though I walk in it, though I might find testings, tribulations, troubles. Now think of that. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Protection. Protection. Regardless of the circumstances, my dear young brother, my dear young sister, I want you to take hold of that truth. There is tremendous protection by the blessed shepherd we have. After all, they are all in my hand. No one can pluck us from His hand, but not only His hand, but also the hand of my Father. Now who can go through the hand of the Son and through the hand of the Father? You tell me one creature can do so. And when He protects, He is competent to protect. We might go through the valley, testings will come in, but rest assured, be at peace, that He's able to protect. He's able to protect. That's the shepherd. For Thy rod, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. His faithfulness. He is faithful. You know what? For Thou art with me. What did He say? I will not, what? Leave you, nor forsake you. Just hold these promises of the shepherd that he will never leave me nor forsake me, because you know why? He's faithful. He will protect, but he'll also remain with me because he promised, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Discipline. Discipline. You know the purpose of discipline? It's not like what we have in our mind. You know what? The purpose of discipline is so I can reach a moment and put somebody out of this door because I don't get along with him. That's the kind of discipline we have in our mind. That's not discipline as far as scripture. Discipline is to make one better disciple. Discipline to make one a better Christian. This is the purpose of discipline, but there is discipline. And when it comes from the Lord, it's for your good and for my good. It says, thou preparest me a table in the presence of my enemies. Fellowship. You want to have fellowship with something? We are wasting our time communing in things that are hindering us from the relationship we can enjoy with Christ. We are filling our minds with movies and games and all these trash of this world. Until we come to the conclusion that this is the trash of this world, they're going to keep filling our souls and filling our minds and hinder the fellowship and hinder the relationship that I could have with my shepherd. And I trust that the Lord will bring you to a point like this in your life. Because once I judge that all things are but loss, until I come to that conclusion, there's going to be a lot of filthiness. It says, in the presence of mine enemies, boldness. You know what it says about the young men that are in the hands of a mighty man? They shall speak with the enemy at the gates, and they shall not be ashamed. That's what the Bible said. That's not what Brother John said. He said we're not going to give the verse, right? Psalm 127. You read it when you go home. They shall speak to the enemy at the gates, and they shall not be ashamed. Boldness. That's what the shepherd does. He gives you boldness. And it says here, thou anointed my head. It is consecration. Consecration. I mean, you want more? For the last minute, go through it quickly. My cup runneth over. He gives in abundance. I give them life. How does he give it? I give it to them which way? More abundantly. Because this is the kind of blessed shepherd we have. He gives, and when he gives in abundance. That's why when Paul was speaking about, I don't want to, but go to Ephesians, that he will give us more than what? Not only what we ask, even more than what we even think. Why is it? Because he gives an abundance. Okay. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Security. Security. You know, this blessed shepherd, he doesn't only deliver me, but he gives me the security. Listen, all your days there's going to be goodness and mercy following you. It was said that the armor of God in Ephesians 6, people claim that there is no back piece because you're facing the enemy. There's no back piece to protect your back. I like to look at it this way. Although there is no peace, but I know that mercy and goodness shall follow me. If I turn my back to the enemy, there is his mercy and there is his goodness that's going to cover me and that's going to protect my back because he is faithful. When I turn my back to the Lord and go into the things that are in opposition to him, mercy and goodness. And I will dwell in the house forever of the Lord forever and ever. Eternal destiny. And dear brethren, in few words, this is what the shepherd does. If I can briefly tell you everything about this wonderful shepherd we have, I want you to take hold of that Psalm 23. As we went through it one by one, you might have your own thoughts about this psalm, wonderful as it is. But to me personally, for me to know, it starts with a relationship and then brings me to an eternal destiny. And I will dwell in where? In where? In the house of the Lord. In my Father's house are many abodes. And that's where you and I, we will go and spend eternity with Him. And may it be so for His name's sake.